Yes, can you lift it for me? Oh, that's better because. Okay, ladies, are we having any music or just me? Oh dear. All right, we'll have music later. Because we loved your music. Thank you so much. And it just set the tone for our morning. Thanks, girls. It was beautiful. Right, you've all enjoyed lovely tea, scones with cream. And now I want you to join me saying Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty, all of you together. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I've got a second verse. Listen. Lady, lady sat on the wall. Lady, lady had a great fall. All the king's counselors and all the king's friends couldn't put lady together again. Isn't that a lovely verse? You smile, but maybe some of you are feeling that way right now. You've just had a shattering relationship, or you're in one. Your husband's had an affair. He's onto pornography. There's a divorce there, and you're feeling alone. Maybe a stroke, a death. Children are not walking with the Lord. They're on drugs. They're living together, or they've immigrated, a critical accident, hijack, armed robbery, our dear friend. You were a victim of child abuse and you feel like a nothing. Maybe you're even depressed. All the hurt, fear, rejection, anguish and despair Jesus felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "My soul is crushed with horror and sadness to the point of death." Jesus was in pain, and he understands everything that we're going through. Now, maybe you've been hurt in the past by someone that's very dear to you, or maybe you have hurt someone unintentionally. Because much of our hurts or discontent is created because we interact with other people. When we love, we open ourselves to the possibility of hurt. Sad, hey? When we love, we open ourselves to the possibility of hurt. And we must be willing to forgive. That I'm going to deal with a bit later on. I had a broken relationship and a burnout in 2006. And I remember I went to the church to get my Bible study equipment because I was running two Bible studies. And as I put the box in the lounge, I just said, "Arnold, cannot do it." And he sat me down and he said, "Joy, I've just been reading something on burnout." And he listed everything, including you keep away from people, you just withdraw. And he said, "You're going to have to give up a lot of things, my girl, because you're in burnout." And on top of it, I had a broken relationship. So I had no energy to work at this relationship. And I was just like this cup. I was being, terrible. And now I've put it together so well. I thought I had to do it. Oh, I broke. At last I broke. And I realized I have to listen to Arnold. I've got to just stop everything. And it wasn't easy. And I remember going to America at that time to be with Colette. And as I sat in church, I was totally broken. And this broken relationship just got to me. I just want to read to you what I wrote in my journal. "Father, I'm hurting big time. The pain is unbearable. The tears are so close, just waiting to fall. They're building up. They're coming. There's going to be such a storm. Father, just hold me. Hold me tight. I'm scared. I'm scared of how I will react or what I'll do. Don't let me take to flight. Let me feel your arms around me. Turn your head. Listen. Look into my eyes. Tell me again that you love me, that you care for me, that I'm precious to you, that you understand, that you don't condemn me, that I'm not strange. All will be well, that I will look back with joy unspeakable." And I just went on and on. I was totally broken. And I remember going to Colette that time, and I was sitting in her church, and someone bent over and said, "Can I share with you what God has said to me about you? Will it hurt you?" I said, "No, please. Just tell me." And it was something so beautiful. And after church, they dealt with me and helped me. And it took me 3 years to get over my brokenness and burnout. And it's not an easy thing at all, because you withdraw and you haven't got the emotions to do anything. My motto became, God knows what we don't know. Psalm 56, "Father, you've kept track of all my wandering and weeping. You've stored my many tears in your bottle." Psalm 56, verse 8. "Not one will be lost, for they are all recorded in your book of remembrance." And I think just to picture God's arms around you, like I did, those loving hands, those nail-pierced hands around you, just be still and know that He is your God. I think that has become one of my favorite songs. Be still and know that I am God. Let's just have another breath prayer right now. Remember, it slows you down, you focus on Jesus, and it just calms your rushing mind. And let's just say quietly, over and over, "Hold me, because I'm hurting. Hold me, because I'm hurting." Maybe in your suffering, you will experience God as you've never experienced Him before. Arnold had a soulmate in Cape Town, Dave Myberg, who had a brain tumor. And he was on his last, and Arnold went to visit him. He was just skin and bones. And he said to Arnold, "Arnold, I would not give up this experience for anything, because I came to know Jesus as I've never known Him before." Just a few days later, he went into the presence of his Jesus. And you don't have to be strong at this point. Just be honest and tell God how you feel. I remember when I was told that I had a patch on my abdomen and I was going to have it checked, and then I had a sonar and a CT scan, and then they sent me to the urologist, whatever for, it's just a hernia. And Edna Stocks came with me because I didn't want my daughter-in-law to come all the way from Alberton. And the doctor said to me, "Dr. Hugo van der Merwe, I love him. You know him, sweetie." And he said to me, "Morning, Mrs. Ma." I said, "Morning." He says, "How are you?" I said, "I'm fine." He said, "I've got bad news for you." I said, "Why?" He said, you've got cancer in your left kidney. I said, "What?" I went numb, boggled. I couldn't even cry. Me, a Bible study teacher, Sunday school teacher, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I've got cancer in the left kidney. Then I remember what God gave me in my quiet time that morning, because I always have a quiet time every morning, ladies. It's vital. I said to Dr. Hugo, "Dr. Hugo, can I tell you what I got in my quiet time this morning?" He said, "Yes." It was Exodus 23:20. "I am sending an angel before you to lead you safely to the land I have prepared for you." I was thinking, "Lord, am I dying? You know, where are you going to take me?" And Dr. Hugo said, "You're the first person that's called me an angel." But I let him think that, because I love him so much. Now, in your pain, you can imagine, it was, and Arnold was on a seminar, and when he got the news, the people told him, "Cancel the seminar and go home to joy immediately." And he did. And when I spoke to Colette in America, then I sobbed with Helena and Edna. I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. But I remember that God said, "I'm sending an angel before you to lead you safely to the land." We have to have our quiet time every day, girls, because we don't know what God is going to give to us and prepare us for. Now, maybe you've experienced questioning God, demanding, accusations, begging and pleading. Listen to David in Psalm 13, 1 to 5. You know what he says? How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you look the other way when I am in need? How long must I be hiding daily anguish in my heart? Answer me. Oh, Lord, my God, give me light in the darkness, lest I die. This is David. But is a wonderful word in Scripture. I will trust in you and in your mercy and shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has blessed me so richly. And so when this emotional tirade was over, the psalmist was able to look with confidence to God and say, I will trust in you, no matter what. Now, there's a place for lament in the lives of all of us, and it has got great power. And 70% of the psalms are laments, and of course, we've got lamentations also. It's expressing your pain. It's a cry of agony, not grumbling. When you lament, you're being real with your emotions, being true to how you feel about what has happened to you. But having expressed your feelings, you will then fall back on the certainty that God knows exactly what he's doing. And I had to realize that too. And Kathy Torrentel came to me, and she said a wonderful thing to me which set me free. Joy, you don't have to be strong at this point. You just have to be honest. Find somebody or some friends that you can be honest with and share your burden. We need to. You know what Solomon said? Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. Remember what Jesus said? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because God couldn't look at sin. Can you at this point bring yourself to trust him with your pain? Now, your pain is far worse than mine. Can you trust him? Because God knows what we don't know. Ernest Hemingway said that he can prove that he can give his life story in six letters, six words. Beauty's not yet used, but beauty's not yet, I've forgotten it. But anyway, something about beauty's not bought, never was used. And they said, but what do you mean? He said, I never had children and I long to have children. So this is a motto in our family. We are saying our life story in six words. And mine is, God knows what we don't know. So I will trust you. Father, I trust you with whatever. And I had to trust him with my cancer. I longed for him to heal me. I prayed for him to heal me. But that wasn't God's will. I had to go through an operation, which is very painful. And God knows. And I wouldn't change it for anything. Because nothing will ever happen to you that you cannot handle by God's power and grace. And nothing will ever happen to you that will not eventually be used by God for some good purpose in your life. Nothing surprises God. What puzzles us is permitted by him for reasons too profound to grasp. And girls, time doesn't heal. It just teaches us to live with a pain. And I often thought, Lord, why did you take Michael? He was only 23. He was studying to be a doctor. And I realized time doesn't heal. It just teaches us to live with a pain. And when I lost Michael and 4 months later my dad, two verses came to mind, and the first one was in Psalm 139, which I read to you, where it says, every day of your life is recorded in a book. So Lord, no matter what we did, Because I was in the organ pit playing the organ, and they called me out from the church. And they said, Arnold wants to talk to you. I thought, whatever for? You don't call someone out of the organ pit? And they tell me about my brother's death. And I just couldn't believe it. And then that verse really shook me, that every day of our life is recorded in a book. The day we are born and the day we die. And I said, Lord, that's fine. But you should have rather taken me, because Michael was a much better guy than I. But God never makes a mistake. And he's been with the Lord how long, Shaw? Over 70 years? I cannot imagine what they're doing in heaven. I can't wait to go to heaven. You can understand why. And then the second verse that got to me was, Paul says, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Okay, Lord, Michael was all you wanted him to be, and that's why you took him home, even at the age of 23. But it takes time to accept. Now, if you deal with your pain in the wrong way, it can turn to alcoholism, suicide, depression, and even drug abuse. And Jackie, not my daughter-in-law, another Jackie writes, and she said, I had clinical depression. And I went onto the suicide websites because I thought, are they experiencing what I'm experiencing? Because what did they do? Her sister heard, jumped onto the plane, got to Jackie's house, sat by her bed, sang hymns to her, prayed with her, sometimes brushing her hair. Jackie, how do you feel? Worthless, a failure, a spiritual nothing. Jackie, let me tell you, said her sister, what God sees. He adores you. And she said, I could not feel God's love directly, but in time, I felt God's love through me. Girls, we are God's love song. And he wants us to give out to other people what he has put in us. Now, if you deal with your pain in the right manner, good news. In the way you respond, it can bring relief, healing, and growth. You all know the story of Joni Erickson, the one who had that terrible diving into the pool, and she's now paralyzed. She says, I dare not assume that God Almighty owed me any explanations for my breaking my neck in a diving accident and now left with this paralyzed body, which is permanent. I will never walk again, but I will regain the use of my hands one day. What makes us think that God can explain to us what he does? And she spoke to me because it was at a time when we wanted Michael and Duane to be at Boys High, and because we lived in the wrong area, in those days you were zoned. Not today, you could choose. And when our kids could not go to Boys High, no matter what we did, they had to go to the Glen. And I read this book of Joni, and someone said to me, Joy, you're crazy. It'll make you more depressed. I said, no, I feel I've got to read it. And something stood out. And Joni said the following, God is not accountable to me with what he does with my life. Yo, that has meant so much to me, even in my kidney story. God is not accountable to me with what he does with my life, because he knows what he's doing and he never makes a mistake. And she goes on to say, there was a time of complaint in my life, a time when I shook my fists at God's face. But I've worked through that. I've asked his forgiveness. And God has a purpose for my life. And she has touched the lives of millions, because she's an artist with her mouth. She paints and she speaks on the stage in her wheelchair. So I'm going to bring you just a few pointers, four pointers. What can I do? And the first is, have a quiet time every day. Buy a journal. Buy a pretty one. Arnold doesn't have a pretty one, but That's right, he's Arnold. I buy a pretty one because I need a pretty one to write in. And you get them at Coom, and they're not genuine leather, but it's soft leather, and it's so nice. Right there, the date, the day, what you're going to read. You can follow Sylvan Hughes' booklet if you like. And I just say, Lord, just please speak to me. I first worship him and adore him, and then I read through and make notes. Then I read what Sylvan has to say. Sometimes we think the same things and very often different. Have your quiet time every day. Tell God how you're feeling. Sometimes I start my quiet time. Lord, I'm feeling so down. I don't know what's wrong. Please lift me up today. That's fine. God knows anyway, but it's good for you to write down how you're feeling. And we may not be able to undo or fix the past, but we can be healed from what has wounded us. And I've shared with you about Joni Erickson, because today she's a speaker, a writer, and an artist. Helen Keller, at the age of 19, went deaf, dumb, and blind because she had a brain problem, and they think it was scarlet fever. So at 19 months, she went deaf, dumb, and blind. And she had a sort of lady with a difficult eye problem to teach her how to read using her hand. And this teacher was sharing with her mug, and she threw the mug down. She was so angry she couldn't understand. Then she tried to spell out doll, and she threw the doll down. And then the teacher got wisdom from God, and she trickled water on this hand and spelt out water on this hand. And she said, suddenly it all came to her, the spelling and the recognition of what the objects were. And she, deaf, dumb, and blind, has written 12 books. She's a political activist and a lecturer. So there is amazing things with what God can do for us and with us. And Corrie ten Boom is another one. In that concentration camp, she was so damaged, and together with her sister. And I'm going to talk about her later when it comes to counseling. And she today is a tramp for God all over. Not married, but spreading the word. Number two, give of yourself to others. Stop looking inward. Start meeting the needs of others. The more positively you think, the more positively you will act. Share with others your pain. Let them pray for you. Who knows what it'll do for them? Give and receive forgiveness if necessary and move on. So give of yourself to others. Number three, thank God for the pain. Now you don't say, oh, thank you, Lord, that I've lost my husband. Mm-mm. Thank you, God, for what has happened to me. I don't like it, but I know that you will do the best for me in this situation. You know what it says? Medical research is discovering that gratitude is the one emotional trait most likely to benefit physical health and recovery. A grateful heart is a healthy heart. Grateful people tend to be happier and more satisfied with their lives and may actually live longer. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry. Pray about your situation. Tell God. He knows about it. And then thank him that he knows the best for you and he will do the best for you. When we are thankful in our pain, we are actually showing God that we trust him. And then go for counseling. Don't feel guilty. I mean, when you've got a toothache, you go to the dentist. Why do you go to the dentist? What will other people say if you go to a dentist because you've got toothache? Go to a counselor. So what? You need help. Just like your teeth need help. And I love the story of forgiveness of Corrie ten Boom. And she says, she was preaching on forgiveness in Germany. And she said, and down the aisle came this big, burly man and walked towards her. And he put out his hand and he said, to think that God has forgiven me. Won't you forgive me? And she realized it was one of those guards at the showering place where they had to remove their clothes and were laughed at and jeered. And now he's got the cheek to come walking down the aisle asking me to forgive him. And she stood there. She said, it felt like hours. And she said, God, I cannot forgive him. I haven't got forgiveness. And he held out his hand. And then she realized forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice. I choose to forgive. I choose not to forgive. She said, God, if I put out my hand, you'll have to give me the forgiveness because I feel nothing for this man. She put out her hand. She said, it's not going to happen to everybody, but she got goose flesh going right down her arm. And as their hands met, they both cried. Isn't that beautiful? But later, she went to a minister and she said, you know what? I have forgiven. But I still think of it, and it bugs me. And he took her to a church. You know those lovely churches where they've got a bell, and someone takes the rope and rings and rings and rings. He said, you have held on, and you said, I won't forgive, I won't forgive, I won't forgive. And eventually, when you said, I forgive, you took your hand off the rope. Does the bell keep ringing? It does for a while, and then it stops because your emotions have to catch up with your choice. Your emotions have to catch up with the choice you made, and it takes time. It happened to me. Now, at this point, when you've just been listening, just write a letter, thank you, God, for what you mean to me. You are. That's the second letter we're going to just write. Just shortly, our time is moving on. Thank you, God, for what you mean to me in my crisis, in my hurt, in my pain. Okay, again, it's like journaling. You can carry on when you get home. Precious Jesus, just put your arms around me. There are tears coming. Heal the place within me that cries out to be freed from this pain. Hold me close and never let me go. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus also begged the Father to have the cup of suffering pass from him, but he said, not my will, but yours be done. Father, not what I want, but what you want. And number five, the result. After brokenness, we end up with the markings of a well-traveled life, and we are a blessing to other people, and we become a love song for Jesus, and we're able to share with others who are going through what we've been through. I love what Joni says. She says, sometimes, because we're now talking about God's masterpiece, sometimes we jump off the easel, grab the brush, and we do things our way. But when we do this, we only get a bad copy of the masterpiece God intended for us. She said, our body is only the frame for God's portrait. And when people go to a gallery, they don't look at the frame, they look at the picture. And God is painting you as his masterpiece. Let him do it his way. God knows what we don't know. I'm going to give you just a few moments just to share with somebody sitting next to you the pain that you've been through, and then I'm going to move on to the cup of blessing. So I'm just giving you, I'm going to say 5 minutes. Just share with someone around you. If you want to, just the pain that you've had to go through or what you've been through and how God has blessed you. So just in the next 5 minutes, I will give you time just to share with the person next to you. Okay, ladies, a very good idea is to carry on sharing over lunch because I don't want to keep you long. So carry on with your story over lunch. Sit under the tree. Just find a place. Come back in here and sit together. We've dealt with learning to accept who we are. We've dealt with learning how to handle pain. But just remember something, that we cannot hurry our hurts. It doesn't work that way. Time. We need time. And now the last one is the cup of blessing. Learning how to give of ourselves to others. And don't keep it to yourself. Give to others. And I'm going to tackle 4 things. Compassion, being, memories, and thankfulness. What is compassion? You're allowed to talk to me. What is compassion? Love in action? Sorry, empathy? A gift from God? Listen to this. Yes, darling?
I think it's associating with somebody else's pain.
Yeah. Absolutely. Associating with somebody else's pain. Listen to this definition. Compassion is being able to get inside the skin of another in order to care. Compassion is being able to get inside the skin of another in order to care. It is love in action. And Jesus said that offering compassion to another was the same as giving it to him. Because in Matthew 25, we read, when you did it to these, my brothers, you were doing it to me. And in another verse, even just a cup of water. Jesus was really compassionate. For the 5,000, he was so compassionate for the people, and the disciples were worried about their purses. And he still feels compassion today. He feels our pain, our loss, our suffering, and he weeps. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I think one of the most beautiful stories of compassion is that woman with the 12 years of problems that she had with bleeding. And she just knew that if she just touched the hem of his garment, and she pushed through the crowd. Honor calls her a pushy woman. And eventually she got to Jesus and she just touched the hem of his garment. Because if I just... And Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, are you joking, Lord? Everybody's touching you. You're bumping into everybody. Someone touched me. Because Jesus knows the touch of need. And he said, daughter, your sins be forgiven you. Go in peace. You are healed. Now, compassionate beings cannot bear to see suffering and remain unengaged. Michael, our doctor's son, Arnold was away and he phoned me and he said, Mom, I'm coming to take you out to the movies. Oh, yippee, I'm going to the movies with my son. So I'm getting dressed and I'm getting all ready and looking nice and perfume and all the rest. And I get a phone call. Mom, sorry, there's been an accident on the highway and I have to stop and help. Sorry, we'll have to do our movie another day. That's compassionate people. It's demanding. You move out of your comfort zone. It comes with a price. It costs you time and energy. It's overwhelming. Sometimes you don't know what to do or what to say. God, just help me. There's a breath prayer. God, just help me. God, just help me. You girls are going to pray a lot of breath prayers after this. And you're confronted with your own fears and insecurities. Because you think, what if I get that? What if that happens to me? How will I handle it? But it stretches us. One of the most revealing scientific studies of illness focused not on suffering people themselves, but on the caregivers. Isn't that interesting? One of the most revealing scientific studies of illness focused not on suffering people themselves, but on the caregivers. It takes so much emotion. Philip Yancey says it is stressful, emotional, and more tiring than any other job. Just think back a little bit. Can you think of a compassionate friend? Someone who did something for you or said something for you. How did they help you? And to this day, you are so grateful. But what about being compassionate with yourself? We are usually so hard on ourselves. And I remember when I had that brokenness with a friend, a very dear friend. Something happened and our friendship just went south and it just broke me. We were able to sort it out and say sorry and it'll never be the same again. And I kept on bantering myself and saying, how could a Bible study teacher do this? How could I do this? Da, 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 da. And one morning I woke up to Psalm 4 verse 1 and I call it my a wow psalm. I'll never forget it. And it says, answer me when I call to you. O God, who declares me innocent? Because I'd said sorry and I'd asked God to forgive me. So, answer me, Lord, when I call to you. O God, who declares me innocent? You've got to accept that when forgiveness has been given and received, you are innocent. If they won't forgive you, it's their problem, not yours. And it's one thing to be forgiven, but another thing to experience that forgiveness. Amazing. That's what happened with me when I read that A While Psalm. Not only did I know I was forgiven, but I experienced it. A breath prayer. Let's pray right now and say, Father, help me to be sensitive to the needs of others. Thank you, Lord. You're going to help us. We know it. Now, being. Just being there and being a blessing. Someone who is going through a very hard time had a visitor. And this visitor talked to her about God's dealings with her and why it happened and hope beyond the grave. And she talked constantly and said things this other lady knew. And she just said, I wish she would go. I wish she would go. Then she had, excuse me, darlings, but I keep on knocking it down. Then she had another visitor. And this visitor came. And she sat beside her for an hour, just listened, said something, briefly answered, prayed simply, left. The lady was moved and comforted, and I didn't want her to go. When I was sharing this with Ridgecrest just a few weeks ago, a lady stood up. She said, can I share? I said, of course you can. And you people can also interrupt me. I allow it. And she said, I was a woman, really choleric woman, and I had everything under control, and I lost my dad, and I could cope with it. But one day I couldn't get out of bed. It hit me. And my very special friend phoned my daughter and said, "How's Mom?" She said, "She's in bed and she can't get out of bed." That friend got into her car, came to the house, took off her shoes and just lay in bed with her and didn't say a word. She said, "Joy, you cannot believe what that did to me." I said, "Of course it's got to be girl and girl, not girl and boy, lying together on the bed. So be careful. Watch out who's the one that's suffering." And then my mom, the hospital phoned us and said, "Your mom is going." And Arnold took me immediately to the hospital. And my mom was looking up. And I said, "Mom, is Jesus coming to fetch you? Is he coming?" She didn't answer. And I just smeared her with oil of Olay, and I told her all about our family and how we all loved her. And suddenly she just dropped her head, and the nurse said, "She's gone." That was very special. And then Michael was the master of ceremonies at her funeral, and he wrote the most beautiful poem in the plane. And when he arrived at the house, he just took me and said, "Mom, can I read you a poem I've written for you? This is Charlene and my mom. Hold my hand. My hour has come. I see Jesus and he's calling me home. Hold my hand. I so want to stand tall. He's smiling at me. His little girl. Hold my hand. Please don't let me falter. I can see in his eyes I'll be here ever after. Hold my hand. Help me finish this race. Just a few more steps and I'll feel his embrace. Hold my hand just one moment more. Thank you for walking me up to heaven's door. I'm going to let go now, but this isn't the end. It's simply so long. We'll soon meet again." You see, someone else is holding my hand. His name is Jesus, my Savior and friend. Well, I sobbed, but that's my son. And then an interesting thing happened when we were in a church in Cape Town. Two of us were expecting babies. I was expecting Colette, and she was expecting her first child after waiting 12 years. And she got her baby first, and the baby died. And then I didn't want my baby because I really had two babies and I was battling. And Arnold said, "I will go." And all Arnold did was he just held her arm. Didn't say a word. And left her. And she said, "Joy, that's all I needed." Jesus needed his disciples to be with him during his darkest night of his life. Just watch with me. "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. My Father, if it is possible, do not give me this cup of suffering, but not my will, but yours be done." And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said, "Peter, so could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? In the loneliness that comes while awaiting death, Jesus longed for the presence of his friends. Just watch with me." You know what? Jesus experienced unanswered prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? Take this cup. Unfruitful service. The people he came to save came to arrest him. Unbelievable betrayal. All the disciples left him. Another breath prayer. "Help me, Father, just to be and not to do anything at times." Some of us question the quality of our presence. Am I good enough? Will I handle it? Many years ago, there was a huge snowstorm in Colchester. And a man by the name of John Eglin. We've all heard of him, haven't we? No. No one has heard of him. He was a deacon. And he thought, if I don't go to the church, no one's going to be there. So he plodded with his everything on in the snow, and off he went to church. And when he got to church, there were only 13 people, 12 and one little boy, a visitor. And they decided, well, let's go home. And he said, no, you can't come home. We've got a visitor. He said, but who's going to preach? He said, I've never preached, but I'll try. And for 10 minutes, he wafted and he tried and did his best like most of us would have loved to do. And then suddenly he looked at that man and he said, young man, look to Jesus. Look, look, look. Amen. That young boy said, I did look. And there and then a cloud lifted. Do you know who he was? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. That mighty preacher of God. So girls, don't underestimate yourself. You might be leading, helping someone who is so special for the kingdom. Father, I'm so glad that you understand that what I'm feeling right now. You don't condemn me for feeling this way. I need you right now to show me what you want me to do. And God will show you and he will help you in what you're going to do. Memories. When we think back and remember what God has done for us in the past, it gives us fresh courage during our difficult times, because it teaches us lessons about God, about life, and about ourselves and what he did for us. I remember when Mike and Dwayne couldn't go to Boys High, I was shattered because I thought that's the best school, like some of you ladies know. Pretoria. And God gave me Isaiah 46 verse 10. My purpose will stand and I will do all that pleases me. I thought, wow, God. Okay, our kids can go to the Glen and we won't tell a lie and get them into Boys High, which someone suggested we should do, but we didn't do that. Because our boys would never have been able to live with a lie. My purpose will stand and I will do what pleases me. And I thank God that he has worked in their lives. And I remember that when I had my cancer up. I wanted to be healed. And I remembered, my purpose will stand and I will do all that pleases me. The best known cup is the memory cup. When Jesus blessed the bread and the cup of wine at the Passover, the Last Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. And the cup of wine has become a memory cup, the story of one whose life was poured out for us. Choose one memory where God walked beside you all the way. Then thank God for that memory. And what did it teach you? Because it's going to teach you for something that happens in the future. Listen to Deuteronomy 4:9, Grammys. Take care so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Share what God has done for you. I remember when Michael lost his purse. He was working for Top Billing and he lost his purse and cell phone. He left it on top of the car and we all wanted to go for an ice cream in the Cape. And they wanted him at the back of the car. So he jumped in with the kids and Jackie drove and off we went. Jax, my purse and cell phone are on the roof. So of course we stopped to look and of course we found it. No, we didn't. And we saw painters up there and we thought, yeah, they're laughing at us because they've probably got everything and here we are looking. And it was money for Top Billing, lots of money in that purse. Well, we went home and Michael went off to change his card and everything and got a phone call from a guy in the squatter camp, Mandela's squatter camp. He's got a purse and a cell phone. Oh, by the way, while we were looking, sorry, I forgot the most important thing. Now, we're all looking in the grass and round. And then we said, okay, Josh, will you pray? Now, he's only four. Will you pray and ask God to show us? Dear Lord Jesus, please put love in the heart of that man or woman who's taken daddy's cell phone and purse. Amen. Okay. We get home, we get a phone call from the squatter camp guy. I've got your purse and I've got your cell phone. I don't know how to get hold of you. We made a place. We met him. Jackie gave him the most marvelous reward. We came back home. Oh, Michael couldn't believe it, by the way. He said, Mom, you're joking. I said, Mike, genuine. So now he's changed his card and all, but anyway, he's very excited. So when he got home, he said, oh, all my foreign money is missing. So Jackie said, oh, and we gave him such a lovely reward, and now he's kept back the foreign money. But we get another phone call. My children are playing with funny money. I need to give this back to you too. As a result, Michael wrote a note in the fishhook blurb, and this guy got a job because of his honesty. Now, naturally then we said, okay, Josh, now will you just thank the Lord? Because now we've got to teach them when you pray, you've got to say thank you too. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for putting love into the man's heart to give back daddy's person and cell phone. But please don't let him put his cell phone and roof on the roof again. Amen. Oh, I love the prayer of a child. Okay, Jess, how many prayers haven't we enjoyed? And Lindsay, those prayers of our children, they are so precious. Last one, and then you can have lunch. Thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Someone said once, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Are you a thankful person or often complaining? Can you thank God for what has happened in your life, knowing that He will do the best for you? Do you remember the story of Eddie Rickenbacker, where the seagull landed on his head and they were all saved? He is now an old, old man with a beard. And every Friday on the Florida beach, you'll see him carrying a bucket. I'm getting this way soon. Carrying a bucket full of shrimps. And the shrimps are not for anybody else but for the seagulls. And he gets to the end of the pier and he puts his bucket down. And the sky is full of black dots. And the seagulls come from all over and they rest on his head and his shoulders. And when all the shrimps have gone, he walks home. And he comes back next Friday to thank God for saving their lives. So now every time I go for a CT scan and I visit Dr. Hugo van der Merwe, I take them thank you cake or thank you biscuits. Because I said, because of what you and God have done in my life, I cannot but say thank you, Jesus. Helen Keller once said, someone asked her, she blurted out and said, how can you be so happy? You're deaf, dumb, and blind. She read my whole face because she touches at certain spots. Miss Keller, just tell me why you're happy. And she said, my child, it's because I live each day as if it were my last. And life with all its moments is so full of glory. That's a deaf, dumb, and blind person. I just want to thank God for my brother, my late brother who died when he was 23. Charlene, I don't think you know the story, but it's very touching. You can imagine, as a little child, when you have a new mommy or a new daddy, it's not easy. And I battle to accept my mommy, my new mommy. Because why did God take my old mommy? What was wrong with her? And I just couldn't. And then I read a letter my brother wrote. And he said, I'm convinced that God has given to me a mother second to none. I hope we are, and especially I am worthy of being called your son. Mom, there is little to say in words how I appreciate all you've done. Nothing could repay you, and nothing can replace you. In my small world, you did everything so nicely. And he said, your function as my mom has been so different to what my mother would have been. And for you to give of yourself as a foster mother to her stepson is fantastic. And I can only wish and pray that God will repay you 100 times 100 times 100 for your love toward me. Did you know about that letter? When I read it, I just cried. I said, Father, forgive me and give me the love for my mom that I need. And then I wrote a tribute to both Mom Grace and Mom Noreen. And in that tribute, I just said, too many years were spent on longing for my own mommy, wondering why God had taken her. I was only 3. Wasn't she good enough, etc.? If only someone had come beside me and spoken to me. And that's what I want to say to you girls, to you ladies. If by any chance you lose a husband and your child is 3 or very small, talk to them about it. Ask them questions. Get it out of them. No one did that to me. And it goes on and on and on. And I said, one day I'm going to get to glory and I'm going to take Grace's hand and Noreen's hand. And together we're just going to know why God did what he did. And I love them both. Reflection. Think back to an incident where God answered your prayer in an amazing way. And just imagine yourself enfolded in God's hands. Close your eyes and picture God's love filling you. Let your entire being receive his love and just stay there. Just another breath prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. You know what you're doing. Thank you. I love you. I'm closing with this prayer. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great is your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Who could ever explain the wonder of your decisions or search out the mysterious way you carry out your plans? For who has discovered how the Lord thinks or is wise enough to be the one to advise him in his plans? For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by your power and for your glory. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart, even though I don't understand why you've allowed this to happen. I will tell of all the marvelous things you've done. Father, I don't understand what you're doing with me. I don't like it, but my trust is in you, and you never make a mistake. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, because you will do the best for me. Amen. Thank you, ladies. You've been very good listening all this time. And now it's lunch. How nice is that?